Some people learn from the mistakes of others. Unfortunately, some people have to be the others. Hi, I'm Rob West. Well, you certainly don't want to be one of the others, folks who have to learn things the hard way by making mistakes. Today, I'll talk to Ron Blue about some of the biggest financial mistakes you'll want to avoid. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Okay, once again, financial teacher and author and my good friend Ron Blue joins us. He's a busy guy, so it's always a treat when he takes time from his day to join us. Ron, great to have you back on the program.
Well, as always, Rob, I look forward to it.
Ron, we're talking financial mistakes, so let's be honest. I mean, you're Ron Blue, the money guy. Have you really made a financial mistake?
Well, see, this is Tuesday, so I haven't made many yet this week, but I have made probably some.
I love it. You're always humble. Hey, you've written about these mistakes that you and I have both made, and let's look at a few of them today from your book, Master Your Money, A Step-by-Step Plan for Experiencing Financial Contentment. By the way, if you haven't read it, it's a must read. So, Ron, what's the first financial mistake on your list?
Well, really, the first one is to establish your goals. You know, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time.
Yeah.
And goals help put boundaries around your spending and put priorities in the right order around your spending. So Judy and I used to take two goal-setting weekends a year. I say used to, it was because when we had the children, it was more important or more urgent than it is today. But goals would be the first one.
Yeah, that's really important. I know another one you mentioned, Ron, is having what you call a consumptive lifestyle. What is that and how do we avoid it?
Well, a consumptive lifestyle is really one that is significantly beyond what you really need.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just reading this morning in my quiet time about greed. And all of us suffer from the temptation of greed. You know, for men, maybe it's a new car. For women, perhaps it's a new dress or something, but and they're not wrong, but we tend to overspend in many ways and have a consumptive lifestyle. And by consumptive, I mean you're spending it on things that are consumed, therefore they're not building any equity other than perhaps memories, but they're not building equity in your finances. So that's a biggie.
Yeah, it sure is. Ron, you mentioned greed. Just one thought on that. Do you think it's possible to attempt to redeem greed in the name of the American dream?
Oh, yeah, I do. You know, it's I haven't talked a lot about greed over my career, Rob, but for some reason, the last couple of years, I've become more and more aware. I think it's of the fact that greed really is existent.
Yeah.
Tim Keller said, yeah, I've had every sin confess in my study with the exception of greed.
Oh, wow.
We don't tend to look at things. The motive is something other than perhaps spiritual or family or something that's more important. So
yeah,
not having a budget is the way to avoid that.
Well, let's talk about that because I know you say that's another one of those biggies in terms of financial mistakes. Why is that so key?
Well, a budget, people tend to think of it as something being constraining, and yet it's not. It's something that's freeing because it's pre-planned expenses. For example, I'm going to take a vacation. Am I saving for that vacation so that when it comes, I take the vacation, which is certainly okay, because it was in my budget?
Yeah.
Do I have a budget for the emergencies that are going to occur? Car repairs, broken dishwasher, whatever it may be. I need to have the contingencies built into my thinking also to be realistic.
Yes.
And very few people operate off of a budget, but I say a budget is really just pre-planned spending, and it's a freeing thing to have rather than a restrictive.
Ron, just a few seconds left. You say giving is one of the mistakes that we make. Why so?
Well, people tend to think of giving as giving out of surplus rather than out of income. And I think that if you don't tithe, you're not experiencing financial freedom.
Wow.
And I think God wants us to tithe, not because he needs the money, but he needs your heart.
Well said, Ron. We're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, thank you for having me, Rob.
That's Ron Blue. He's been our guest today. You can read a lot more in his book, Master Your Money. Your calls are next. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Growing in Christ is rarely a smooth or easy process. Just look at the disciples of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, within the span of just 7 verses, Peter goes from having a spiritual breakthrough, exclaiming to Jesus, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And moments later, Jesus is responding to something else Peter has said, saying, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. But that's what spiritual growth in real life usually looks like. And the good news is, every day we have a new chance to learn and relearn what it means to follow Jesus. Anchor Devotional is daily encouragement from God's Word. Try it out today. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
We're going to talk about the further issue, our response, who's behind this.
Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7.
Talk is cheap.
Honest. Insightful.
Doing nothing is creating chaos in the world. Danger for America.
Sandy Rios informs listeners from a Christian worldview.
It's time to act in the polls, because I have to tell you, most of them are just doing nothing.
Listen on the podcast page at afr.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. Hey, a study out from Edward Jones recently said, despite half of Americans expecting to receive an inheritance in the next 10 years, family discussion remains lacking. And here's what they found. 35% of those families that are going to leave an inheritance or expect to don't have any plans on discussing the wealth with their families. You know, we like to say here at FaithFi that, choosing the next steward and making sure that steward is prepared is a critical and ultimately the last stewardship decision you will make. And so we want to be very intentional about how we communicate values to the next generation, how we really are thinking about passing wisdom before wealth, recognizing that financial capital is just one piece of what we'll pass on. The spiritual and the social capital are critical. Here's what Gene McMain says from the National Christian Foundations. He says, many families in America have more wealth than they need for the shaping and the spending necessary to positively equip their children and grandchildren. She goes on to say, legacies that thrive are focused on stewarding God's resources to further his purposes, both within our families and in the world around us. So think about that today. Here's the question. Is the next steward chosen? and prepared, which requires a good bit of communication. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Cleveland. Hi, Renee. Go right ahead.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for your call.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, thank you for the work that you guys do.
Thank you.
So much. It's very much appreciated. My question is, you know, after years of homelessness and other issues going on, I finally have some stability. And I have saved up like $45,000, but also have like $20,000 worth of debt. And I don't want to file bankruptcy. You know, God says to pay Caesar what is due Caesar.
Yes.
And, you know, just and be a good steward with it. But I don't, I'm 67, near retirement, a couple of years, and I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should take half of that and pay off the debt, because I still, yeah. Was able to buy a home, still have a home with a small, probably about $50,000 left for the mortgage.
Okay.
I don't know.
Great.
I don't know which route to go.
Yeah, very helpful, Renee. Well, first of all, I'm delighted to hear that you've made such progress from being in a homeless situation to now the stability that you're describing, owning your home, having a relatively small mortgage, and the fact that you've got some savings, $45,000. We do want to get rid of that credit card debt. I assume those interest rates are pretty high, and so there's just not really a productive use of you keeping that in place, especially when you have the ability to pay it off. But let's talk about that 45 just for a moment. Do you have that earmarked for anything specific, Renee, other than just emergency reserves?
Just emergency reserve. You know,
okay.
I was, you know, took the advice and was doing the 6 month,
great,
6 months or a year emergency fund. I just kept going, trying to build it. Yeah.
That's great. Well done. How much do you have on a typical month surplus right now?
Technically, it's almost like living paycheck to paycheck, maybe having about maybe $200 or $300
okay.
left per pay. Yeah.
Okay. So how were you able to put the $45,000 away? Did something change?
Yeah. Took on an extra job. And then anytime I got a tax refund, just socked it all
good.
Away.
Yeah, well done.
Anytime there was extra money, I was just putting it into building up. And plus, I have it in a savings account where I can't withdraw from it. The only thing I could do is just add to it.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
I did that. It was a get-ready type of savings account that helps you to build up your savings, and I just kept it like that. So,
I see. Okay. But you can access the funds now, correct?
Yeah, I can access it.
Okay.
I just can't
great.
Use an ATM machine or anything to withdraw.
Yeah. Got it. All right. And then you said you're close to retirement, so tell me what that looks like. Have you worked up a retirement budget to figure out what your expenses will look like when you're in retirement, and how will you? What will your income sources be?
Probably some Social Security and maybe a small pension from my job, since I've really only been in this job for about 6 years, but
okay.
I've been saving into it's a OPERS.
Okay. Yeah.
OPERS. Been saving into that.
Yep. So have you run the numbers to determine if you start taking Social Security when you retire and you start collecting the pension from the OPERS there in Ohio, is that enough to cover your bills? Will you be okay, or will you need to have your mortgage paid off by then in order to make everything work?
Probably when I retire, because I'm planning on going to probably like maybe 69, 70.
Okay.
So, I didn't want to go to 70. I wanted to retire before that. But I'm thinking the mortgage may not be paid off at that time. But I really haven't done the numbers to see what I'll need. But technically right now, I probably spend about $1,500 per pay.
Okay.
So that's like about $3,000, give or take a few dollars monthly.
Got it. All right. So here's what I'd like for you to do. I would recommend you go ahead and pay off that credit card debt. I realize that'll drop you from 45 to 25, but that's okay. I mean, you're going to save a bundle in interest. And then I would take that amount that you're sending right now to the credit cards, which I would imagine is, you know, about 3%, about $600, and then use that to start saving. Or maybe you accelerate that mortgage payoff, one of the two, because if you're, you know, if you're spending $3,000 a month, you'll still have well over 6 months in your savings, because that's only $18,000 and you'll have $25,000. So maybe we try to accelerate that mortgage payoff. But I would go ahead and pay that off. Now, the nice thing is if you wait till 70, you'll maximize your Social Security check, because you're going to get about 24 to 26% more at age 70 than you would have gotten at full retirement age. So that's good. But I do want you to go ahead and take the next step of putting that retirement budget together. Try to anticipate, you know, before the mortgage is paid off, what is it going to look like in retirement for me to live on a monthly basis? And hopefully your expenses will come down. Most people live on 70 to 80%. You may be at the upper end of that range still having a mortgage, but hopefully you're eating out less, maybe less work clothes, things like that. And then let's just figure out exactly what your income will be at SSA.gov, and then match that to your monthly spending so you know what that looks like and you know how long you have to work. But in the meantime, I'd go ahead and pay off the debt. Thanks for your call, Renee. May the Lord bless you. We're going to head to a break here in just a moment. But let me remind you, our team is away from the studios today, so don't call in. But we have lined up some great questions in advance. So when we come back, we'll dive into those as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. You know, here at Faith and Finance, it's all about understanding the heart of God in our role as stewards or managers of God's resources. It's a game changer when we understand that as our starting point. More calls just around the corner on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
My wife's aunt passed away, and we received a considerable inheritance from that. We talked to the people at AFA Foundation, and they were very caring. What excites us about the charitable gift annuity is we will always have income coming in. It will be steady. We won't outlive it.
See if a charitable gift annuity is right for you. Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Before we head back to the phones, I'm going to ask you for a favor. We're a listener-supported ministry here at Faith and Finance Live, and June the 30th is the end of our fiscal year. This is a really important time for us to hear from you. If you count on this program, maybe you've found this to be a blessing in your life, or you've applied something you've heard on the program, and it's been helpful to you as you steward God's money, we just ask you to go to faithfi.com and click give. And the reason why is ultimately so we can see people freed up to experience God's best as they handle money his way. And that's why we love the stories of life change like this one. Take a listen.
Thank you so much for this program and everything that you do. I've just learned a tremendous amount of wisdom with finance and how to kind of tackle investments. So you Thank always you. Would say to save up 3 to 6 months of an emergency fund before you make any kind of crazy investment. And so I started doing that, and almost to the exact day that I saved up 6 months of an emergency fund, I lost my job and God called me into global missions. So because I had the 6 months emergency fund there, I didn't have to be frantic and look for a different job. And I was able to really focus on my ministry and go to training that I needed to do. And I expedited that entire process. And I literally leave for the mission field in January. So without this program and your advice, who knows where I would be right now, but I just wanted to call in and just say thank you so much for everything that you do.
Wow. That's why we do what we do. And she says you, talking to me, but it's really about this entire team here at FaithFi that makes this happen every day. But it's also you, those of you who support this ministry. And so if you would consider a gift of any amount, $100, $1,000, or $10,000, it would help go a long way to helping us meet our goal by June the 30th. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. That's faithfi.com and click give. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Hi, Kyle. How can I help, sir?
Yeah, I just quit my job, and I would like to know what I should do with my 401k, because my 401k was attached to the company I was previously with, and I can't get into the next company's 401k matching program until a year.
Okay. Will they let you roll the old 401k into the new one?
They should. I didn't ask, but that's my impression that shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah. I mean, that's not always the case. It typically is, not always. So you would need to ask, but that's generally what I recommend. It just keeps things simpler. You won't have duplication of investments. You just kind of have everything in one place. And then once you ultimately retire, I would look at rolling that out to an IRA just so you have a little more control over it. That's probably at the time where you'd have enough accumulated in the way of assets that you'd want to consider hiring an advisor to manage it for you at that point. But I think in the meantime, just consolidating that 401k into your new one, even prior to you getting that matching, is generally the way to go. Now, if you were looking to do something specific with it because you wanted to manage it or you had an advisor in mind to manage it, you certainly could roll that one out to an IRA. It would give you more control over it. You wouldn't be limited in your investment options. But if you don't have a plan along those lines, then I think, you know, putting it all in your current 401k can make some sense.
So, but I can't get the company matching 401k yet. It's still sitting in the old 401k in my previous company. Is it still safe there, or do I need to move it somewhere else so that, you know, money goes missing for some?
It's absolutely safe there. I just, once you separate from a company, I would encourage you to roll it out. The fees tend to get a little bit more expensive, and there's just really not a good reason to leave it there, but there's not any concern over it. Tell me a little bit more, though. I mean, I understand you're not getting the matching on your new 401k, but you are able to open one and start contributing. Is that right?
Uh, to my new company? I mean, I should be able to open up my own 401k. Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is, what if you were to take that old 401k and roll it into the new one right now? Again, there's not necessarily a concern over you leaving it there, but why not go ahead and get it where it's ultimately going to be, start managing it there, and then eventually you'll start adding to it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
That would be the way that I'd go. It just keeps things a little simpler. It's one less account for you to keep up with. But thanks for your call, Kyle. All the best to you and your new employment. Let's go out to Wyoming. Hi, Jim. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Rob. Hey, let's talk about the brave new world of planning.
Okay. I thought you were going to say the Braves, because, you know, I'm here in Atlanta, and you want to talk about the Braves. I'll talk about the Braves anytime. But no, you're talking about the brave new world of planning. All right, go ahead.
First time in my life I've actually got a plan. Hey, so I'll be 66 this year, planning on working another, I don't know, till I'm 70, 71, or okay. And beyond if I want to, because work is good.
All right.
And I'm going to be in a fairly good position. Right now I don't own a house, but I set aside a building fund to either build a new home. I can do the work, most of the work myself, and or buy a condo or a small house. Push that aside, that'll be a debt-free situation. But then I may, I'll probably have as much as $600,000 to be invested and grow over the next 5 years, you know, to produce, to draw some income out of on retirement and so forth. And, okay. So it's a fairly good position to be in. But I'm really hoping to grow that beyond $800,000, $900,000. And I will be making some contributions to it and grow it. So it's kind of like to take the steps going into all this. If you were to talk to someone, say, here's three or four steps you got to take to start working this plan and putting it together. We don't need to have, you know, tremendous detail on it, but.
Got it. Yeah. And specifically around how to deploy the 600 in a way that grows it over the next 5 years to that 800 or 900,000, or just preparing for retirement in general.
Well, growing that money so that lump, that sum is larger to draw from.
That makes sense. All right, I'm going to take a break. I'll give you my thoughts on the other side. Let me remind you, our team is away from the studios today, so don't call in, but we have lined up some great questions in advance. So when we come back, we'll dive into those as we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. More calls just around the corner on Faith and Finance. Stick around. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
God has entrusted His finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Before the break, we were talking to Jim in Wyoming. Jim's a planner. He's got a plan, and it has to do with between now and 5 years from now when he's hoping to retire around the age of 71. He's got about $600,000 in addition to funds that he's going to use to either build or buy for cash. And he's wondering how to grow that $600,000 to $800,000 to $900,000 so that he's got a meaningful nest egg that he can start to pull from to supplement retirement income, and was just wondering about the steps to get from where he is today to where he'd like to be. And the good news is, Jim, you mentioned to my producer that you were going to try to put away somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 more into that $600,000. So let's stay on the conservative end of that. Let's say you're going to put $10,000 a year for 5 years, $50,000 into the $600,000. The good news is, even with just a 7% rate of return, which is pretty modest, with you adding $10,000 a year to that $600,000, you're going to be right at $900,000 5 years from now. If we change that to 4 years and you add that same $50,000, you're talking about $830,000. But again, that's only at a 7% annual rate of return, which is, you know, the market has done better than that. But let's say we're entering a period with, you know, higher inflation, lower growth, that maybe this market is a little more sideways than it is up, like it's been the last 20 years. I think that would be a fairly modest rate of return. And the way you'd do that is you'd probably want it at 65, you know, to have a typical portfolio of maybe 45% in stocks, maybe 50% in bonds and fixed income, and then maybe 5% in precious metals. And then, you know, between now and age 70, maybe you drop that 45 in stocks down to 40, and you bump up the fixed income to 55, and you start to slowly drop your stock allocation. But even when you're at 70 in retirement, you still want to have 30 to 40% in stocks, because we want you to be able to convert this roughly $900,000 to an income stream that lasts for the rest of your life, and you may live another 25 years or more. So I think we need to take that long-term approach and keep some equities in the portfolio. And then the way I would do that is by hiring an advisor. But let me get your thoughts on that first. Jim, are you still with us?
If you are satisfied with your message.
Oh, it looks like we lost Jim. But hopefully that helps you, my friend. So I would think you're right on track. Good news is you've made a great progress. And if you do need an advisor to manage this money, I'd just go to faithfi.com and click find a professional there at the top of the page. And you can find a certified kingdom advisor there in Wyoming. Let's go to St. Louis. Hi, Bill. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, I've got some money. Roth IRA, and I saw something new, picked it up on Facebook. We know everything's true on there. wanted to know if it would be profitable to put this in what's called a IUL. There was a whole bunch of pros involved with the IUL, and then they were showing all these negatives with this Roth IRA. I got involved in this Roth in 2008, and I've been pretty good about putting $500 a month into that. And I could actually step that up to a max, and wanted to know what your take was, how much I've got some expendable income. I don't have a lot going out. and would like to know if it would be advantageous to put it all in this thing, any of it in this thing, or maybe, you know, a 50-50 split, and also about bumping up and increasing the my contribution to this.
Yeah. What do you have in the Roth today, Bill?
I'm about $175,000.
All right. And are you over the age of 50?
Yes.
So are you trying to max this out with just putting in another $8,000 this year?
If I could do that, if that's the number I need to do, then that would be the route that I would be willing to take.
Yeah, if it's a Roth IRA, not a Roth 401k, but a Roth IRA, you can put in up to $7,000, and then if you're over age 50, another $1,000, taking you to $8,000. You know, there's nothing wrong with the Roth IRA. In fact, it's a great vehicle, but it's not inherently risky or conservative. It has everything to do with the type of investments you choose for the Roth IRA. So the Roth IRA is just a type of account that has tax advantages. And those tax advantages specific to the Roth is you put in after tax dollars. So you earn the income, you pay the tax, then you make your contribution to the Roth. And the IRS will allow that money with whatever you choose to put it in, whether it's in you put it in fixed income or stocks or precious metals or a combination of the three, however much that grows to, you don't pay any tax on the growth. And when you pull it out in retirement, you pull it out tax-free. And so there's nothing wrong with the Roth. The question is, what investments are you choosing inside the Roth? And with $175,000, you'd probably be choosing either ETFs or mutual funds, and you can be as conservative as you want or as aggressive as you want with the selection of those funds. So I would probably stay in the Roth, and if you have questions about how do you grow it responsibly without taking unnecessary risk, well, that might be where you'd want to hire an advisor to actually make the investment decisions for you with your goals and objectives in mind. I'm not a big fan of IULs. I mean, that stands for Indexed Universal Life. It's basically a permanent life insurance policy that includes a cash value component and a death benefit. And then you choose how your cash value grows, that by splitting between a cash value account and an account that tracks a stock market index. So the reason they're sold, and typically people don't go buy them, they get sold an IUL, is because they have a floor on the downside. So that sounds appealing because I can't lose money, right? And you can lose money in the market if you invest in just a typical mutual fund inside that Roth. So what's the downside? Well, the downside is you're not getting 100% of the upside. So they're going to give you a portion of the upside in exchange for limiting your downside. Well, the problem is when you look at historical performance, the way we get these nice average annual returns over a long period of time, like 9% annual growth for the S&P 500, is because in the up years, some of those up years were up dramatically. And if by limiting your upside, let's say they only give you, you know, the first 10%, but the market's up 30%. Well, they're going to keep 20. And by giving that up in exchange for the downside protection, I just think you're severely limiting your overall rate of return by capping that market performance. That combined with the fees and the taxes, I think, and by losing access to your money, I'd rather see you leave that money in the Roth and just hire an advisor to pick the investments that ultimately will accomplish your objectives. But I've thrown a lot at you there, Bill. Give me your thoughts on all that.
I totally picked up on everything you were putting down there. I actually do have an advisor that I have handling this money right now, who's putting it in there. And I'm using my vehicle is Ozark National. And I don't know if they've changed hands or not. Because it's depressing to me to open up that envelope and say, hey, I had this, and now it's down here or whatever. So I look at the long term, and like you said, with the average, here's the up 30, and then we're down to this. And I feel like I trust this guy because we've gone to church together. I know him and everything. And I feel like I'm kind of backdooring him on this deal, but I basically wanted to get his second opinion on what I was doing. And I wanted to know if do you think that the Ozark National is a good outfit to stay with? Because they've been around for a long time.
They have, but they're an insurance company, and I'd rather you be in a straight investment account, not mixing your insurance with your investments. So I'd want to know what kind of investments he's using for you. Let's talk a little bit more off the air. I'll take a break, and we'll be back with more of your questions just around the corner. Stay with us. When money takes a place that it was never intended to take, competing with first position in our lives, taken out of God's original context, our goal is to make sure that money stays in its proper context as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to help you do that as we look through the lens of Scripture at the practical decisions and choices you're making every day. And so let's talk about it.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know Him.
Every day we hear life-changing stories from listeners just like you who see money and possessions as tools to invite more people into God's kingdom. Instead of chasing wealth, you've chosen to embrace God as your source of love and provision. At FaithFi, we're passionate about meeting people where they live and work through our national radio program, app, resources, and website to influence widespread positive change in our culture. Please consider becoming a monthly partner at faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
I'm grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Sit back and enjoy. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in our final segment. We'll get to as many calls as we can. Let's go out to Chicago. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for calling. Go ahead. How can I help you?
Hey, Rob. Thanks so much. And, of course, I love your show. So my super question for this.
Sure.
When my husband passed away 4 years ago, I was feeling very urgent about getting my financial house in order and put my home in a trust, worked with an estate planning attorney, and he had suggested putting my checking accounts, saving accounts, investment accounts, all in a trust as well. And my financial advisor recommended not putting my IRAs in the trust. So I'm confused as to why the two different thought processes there.
Well, there's just not really any need to put the IRAs in the trust because they already avoid probate through the beneficiary designation. So you can designate your kids as beneficiaries and the assets will go directly to them. Now, the only reason why you might want to do it is if you wanted to try to control the distribution of those assets beyond your life. So you might say, well, listen, I've got minor kids and I want to make sure that, you know, the money goes to them, you know, over time or based on them hitting certain ages or that the trustee disperses it in a way that makes sense based on their needs because they don't need this large lump sum of money all at one point. Those would be the reasons. But if all of it is immediately passing to your kids at your death and they're old enough to receive that, then there is no need for the trust because that beneficiary designation gets the money straight to them outside of probate.
Okay, that makes sense. I was under the impression that, and not like it's millions of dollars, believe me, but that tax-wise, it was to my beneficiary's advantage to have it in a trust as opposed to just having them listed as beneficiaries. Is that not true?
No, it's not, because there's no inheritance tax, so they won't pay any tax. The only tax that would be due would be on your estate before they inherit it, but there's not even going to be that, because currently the estate tax doesn't kick in until you have an estate worth more than $13 million. Now, even if that sunsets with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expiring at the end of 2025, it's still going to be a $5 million threshold. So you won't have any estate tax. They won't have any inheritance tax. The only tax they'll pay, which would be regardless of whether they receive it directly through the beneficiary designation or through the trust, because this money is in an IRA, no matter how they get it, they're going to have to pay tax on it when it comes out of the IRA as income, but they're not going to pay it, you know, just by virtue of receiving the asset until they take a distribution.
Got it. That's good to know. Thank you. We have time for one more quick question.
Sure. Go ahead.
Or no. Okay.
Yeah.
So in addition to that, the bulk of my retirement funds, which is around 800,000, but the majority of that is in a traditional IRA. So last year, I moved a chunk into a Roth IRA, which, of course, created a huge tax hit for me. And so my tax preparer was saying, why did you do that? Why not just worry about the tax consequences when you need to start taking your required minimum distributions? Mm-hmm. And yet my financial planner is saying, yes, this is the wise thing to do now.
So you're wanting me to weigh in on who's right?
Yes, I'm putting you on the hot seat here.
All right, I'll play along. You know, I kind of like the idea that you did that. How much of the $800,000 did you convert?
Only $48,000. So, okay. Like, the game plan was to do around, you know, we were looking at it so it wouldn't push me into the IRMA or whatever it is, you know, so I would have to pay more on my Medicare. So that was kind of where the cap was.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't do the whole $800,000. That'd be a huge tax liability. But I think you doing that over time, the nice thing about that is, you know, tax rates are low right now. And we don't know what's going to happen with the election. We don't know where taxes are going. But if they're going anywhere, they're going up. And so the nice thing is that, you know, you are in a fairly low tax bracket right now because it doesn't sound like you're working. Let me ask, are you retired or are you working?
Yes, I was blessed to be able to retire.
Yeah.
Lost my husband, which was a big loss, but it allowed me to retire early. So
yeah, well, I'm so sorry about that. Yeah, so you don't have a lot of earned income, and tax rates are low. So the idea that we take a portion of this and start paying the tax on it now while rates are lower, I mean, if nothing happens, then the Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is going to expire at the end of 2025 and rates are going up. So the idea that you would go ahead and start systematically paying some of that tax now, and then you won't have the RMD on that portion, you could let it keep growing for the kids, makes a lot of sense to me. And doing it where you stay under the IRMA, I think makes sense as well. So I'm on board with that. I mean, you know, I would always seek the counsel of your CPA, because I'm not a CPA and they can give you better tax advice, but just from a planning standpoint, I don't have any problem with what your planner suggested.
Right. I kind of was going that route as well, but I just wanted, you know, the third opinion.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Rob. Love
happy
yourself.
To do it. God bless you, Jenny. Hey, stay on the line. I'm going to send you a book. It's called Wise Women Managing Money, and it was written for widows who are now taking sole responsibility for managing their finances after their spouse passes, and I think it'll be an encouragement to you. Thanks for calling today. Let's go to Cleveland. Hi, Polly. How can I help?
Yes, I have a question about a credit card debt. This was incurred on a credit card of a blind girl whose family took a little bit of liberty with her funds, and they maxed out a card that's in her name only. And now that needs to get, she's taken charge of her own financial affairs again, and I've been helping her with this, and she would like to get rid of that debt. And the one family member left said, no, it's not her responsibility, it's their, they made the debts, but they're not really doing that much on it. So she wants her name cleared because she has no credit because of that. Yeah. So what's a good way to get rid of something like that?
Wow, this is a tough one, Polly. Did she sign on the agreement to open the card?
I think she did. When she took the card out, it was some years ago, and the brother-in-law wanted her to get some credit, so he got a card for her.
And then how was the money used? Was it used for her care?
No.
Okay, and obviously it was not with her permission?
Not really, but she had given the card to them, so when I talked to the credit card company, because it's family and she had allowed them to use the card, they could do nothing about it.
Yeah. So what is her desire at this point? Is she wanting to go ahead.
She would like to get rid of the debt. There were some other things, but we aren't putting any charges against the family member because that the relationship with them is more important than money.
Okay. Yeah. So she's willing to step in either on her own or with somebody else's help and try to pay this off, even though she didn't ask for the money to be used and it wasn't used for her benefit. Is that right?
Right. But yeah, that's right. But she only has Social Security.
Yeah. How much does she owe on, what's the balance?
I think it's $2,600 is still owing on the account.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what I would recommend, does she have any surplus at, you know, after her bills are paid each month? Nothing. Okay.
She does each month. She has a little bit. And so I think that we're thinking about just taking a little bit out each month and paying it off.
What I'd probably do, Polly, is reach out to my friends at Christian Credit Counselors. They'll close the account because that's what happens when you go in debt management. They'll get the interest rates dropped, usually a half or more of what the current interest rate is. And they'll put her on a fixed monthly payment, probably with a $2,600 balance, probably about 3% and per month, which is $78. And but the combination of that one monthly payment that she can send every month combined with that much lower interest rate, I think will, you know, go a long way toward helping her get that paid off even quicker with less interest. Does that sound appealing to you?
It does. I think, you know, I was looking at the account and I mean, she's paying like $60 interest a month. I just thought that needs to get taken care of, and I thought you might have some good ideas.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go, and these are wonderful folks. They're all believers at Christian Credit Counselors. I think they'll be a real encouragement to her. So just go to either you or she, go to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Do you need the phone number, or are you comfortable reaching out on the internet?
Good. It's interesting. This has been an interesting experience for me dealing with a blind person that has to suddenly take over their financial affairs.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, what a blessing that you've walked alongside her. Here's the phone number. It's 800-557-1985. I'll say it again. It's 800-557-1985. And let them know that you heard about this on Faith and Finance Live. They'll take good care of you.
All right. Appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling, and what a blessing that you're walking alongside her. Well, folks, as we head toward the end of the program, let me just say thank you for listening each day, for your encouragement. What a blessing it is when you call and you tell us how the Lord has used this program in your life. And let me also say, if you have a story of how God has shown up and perhaps how, as you've applied these principles, it's allowed you to be that wise and faithful steward, would you call us and tell us about it? You know, we heard that powerful story earlier of that young lady who heard the program. She said, you know what? You're right. I'm going to do that six-month emergency fund. Lost her job. Had the opportunity then to listen to the Lord instead of having to run out to get another job to pay her bills. And she's on the mission field now. That's what it's all about. We want you to be freed up so you can live or die, give or go, according to what the Lord has for you. And here on this program, we want to be an encouragement to you in all of that. Well, that's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks for being along with us. On behalf of my team today, Autumn Simmons, and answering our phones today, grateful for Autumn, Devin Patrick, my producer, and on research today, Mr. Jim Henry. For everyone here at FaithFi, may the Lord bless you. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.